I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got no way to go. Got to catch my sugar, my plantation sugar, my plantation sugar, my plantation sugar. Ah, plantain, plantain, plantain.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show, the soccer edition. Forgot the name of the show there for a second. This is your host, Mitch. I didn't forget my name. As always, I'm here with Mateus, who you can't see from his little screen, but he is rocking the St. Pauli hoodie. And I've gotten shit for talking about St. Pauli on the Arsenal edition. But you know what? Dean can talk shit to me right now because they just won the league. Fuck yeah, St. Pauli. Mateus, how are you doing?
I'm good, Mitch. I'm good. We got the one ethical club promoted, so.
Exactly. We got an ethical Bundesliga club.
the one ethical club you support.
Yes. Pretty much.
Also with us, as always, is Emily. Hi, Emily. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing great. It's sunny outside. It's warm.
Have you also, like, has enough pot time passed where you've also recovered from Arsenal? Or are you never going to recover? Because, like, that's fair as well.
I mean, I'll recover when we win the league. But
Mitch, how are you recovering?
Are you ever going to recover?
Mitch is the one that needs to recover from all of his Arsenal and Colorado sports, the whole crunky family.
Yeah, at least Gotham won.
I maybe had, like, one of the worst sports weekends you could, like, possibly have as a
Truly.
Fan.
Truly.
Like, Arsenal failed to win the league. The Rapids lost in a rivalry game. The Avs crashed out of the playoffs. Like, it was not a good weekend for Colorado sports or for me specifically. But you know what? We're recording a podcast anyway because I'm not a coward. All right.
He's beating the allegations.
I guess there's coward allegations now. Okay, let's get into the pod. Two U.S. Soccer rosters dropped in the last few days. The U.S. men's national team dropped the roster for Copa America preliminary roster. So it's a little bit bigger than the actual roster will be for Copa America. There's a couple surprises here and there. I feel like most surprises can be chalked up to they will probably be on the other big squad announcement for the summer, which is the Olympics. But Mateus, I want to throw to you. Is there any players in particular that you think were unfairly left off the roster, or you think it's weird that they are on the roster, or any surprises about this original roster for Copa?
Yeah. So I think the two surprise inclusions would be Shaq Moore and Timothy Tillman.
Mm-hmm.
Shaq Moore should not be in this roster. Okay. Greg is just used to this guy. No disrespect to Shaq. Reliable player, fine. But he's not even the fifth best right back option in MLS, let alone the world. But he's a guy Greg knows and can call up in short notice. And obviously the injury to Dest requires someone to fill in that right back spot, right? And it's Scally. And someone else. I think I was kind of hoping, and still am hoping, that it's, you know, Wea or McKennie or any number of options that don't traditionally play right back to fill in there. But Greg was saying that Shaq provides versatility because those guys can still rotate in and out. Fine, whatever. Shaq's not going to hurt you, right? He does an okay defensive job. I hope he never plays, but that's fine. Tim Tillman's having a great season in MLS. His brother's on the roster. Why not? You know, I think we want a lot of our alternate sort of center midfield options that would have filled in that spot. That'd be Aiden Morris, Tanner Tessman, Gianluca Busio, any number of those guys. Those guys are all Olympic eligible, right? So they're going to be with the Olympics roster later on the summer. So I don't have an issue with bringing Tim Tillman at all. Fine inclusion. Also, Copa America is home. So like not long flight for Tim Tillman. Is there's nobody, you know, everyone else is like pretty much who do you expect? Josh Sargent is on the roster right now. He's likely to be sent home because his ankle is still pretty fucked up, but bring him on the roster. I don't know. I'm not upset at anything about it here. I don't know if you had any thoughts, Mitch, about any burning exclusions.
I think the one player that like struck me when I like looked at the, because a lot of times I'll look at these rosters and I'll be like, oh yeah, this looks good, and then I'll see people posting about certain players and I'm like, oh right, I forgot about them. Yeah, absolutely. But someone that came to my mind immediately when I looked at this roster was that there was no Austin Trusty. And despite the fact that he played for a historically bad Premier League team this year, he was one of the brighter spots, and I think is 100% deserving of at least being on the Copa team. Granted, yeah. I've seen him linked to being one of the overage spots for the Olympics.
Zimmerman
is another name that I saw linked with that.
That's right. That's the rumor, is that we're bringing two overage center backs to the Olympics because the Olympic center back pool is pretty dicey, at least relative to the rest of the roster. Like, there's some fine prospects in there. Jalen Neal's played for the full team before. Mm-hmm. There's Maxi Dietz, who plays for Greuther Fürth in the second Bundesliga, I believe. Like, great developmental prospects, but like, center back's position where you want an overage player, right? Like, a 21-year-old winger is more likely to be decent than a 21-year-old center back. Mm-hmm. So Zimmerman's definitely tipped to be on that team. I'm assuming Trusty will be as well. Mm-hmm. And that'll be a good foundation for the Olympic team, which has a pretty good shot to go far if they don't get steamrolled by France. So
for sure. I do think that the center back pool in general is in a really good spot right now, in terms of just depth for the, like, our A squad. Like right now, Chris Richards is a nailed on starter, one of the first names on the team sheet, but then you can put someone like Tim Ream next to him. You can put CCV next to him. Like, we have a lot of quality options in that position where we can afford to. And it's maybe a little harsh on Austin Trusty, someone like him, but like, because I think that he is, I think he's someone that I would like to see next to Richards potentially long term at this current outlook for our center backs. But at the end of the day, it's not a massive deal that he's not on this roster. I mean, it's exciting. This team is exciting, and the hope is that we do great in Copa America. And so I think there was like one other note that I had about the roster that like was being reported on, was Greg was saying that why am I blanking on his name? The guy who plays for Coventry,
Haji.
Yes. That Haji Wright is listed more as a winger within this roster. And yeah, that's where he's been playing. That's where he's like been playing for Coventry and been really good. I saw people like surprised about that. And it's like, no, Haji's a winger now. Like he's definitely not one of our nines that we're bringing on this roster.
Yeah. I mean, like for the youth teams forever ago, he's a forward, but he's been playing left wing for Coventry and Turkey. And I don't blame people for not watching those teams. Like, yeah, fair enough. Sure. So,
All right, well, let's move on to the other roster that was released today. And correct me if I'm wrong, Emily, I believe this is just for the friendly against South Korea here in Colorado. And is it for one other team as well, one other game?
Yes, they might both be against Korea. I don't remember who we're playing, but that's okay. Kind of smaller details.
I'm very excited to go watch the women's national team for the first time when they come to Dick's Sporting Goods Park. And we got the roster today. The weirdest thing about this roster for me was that Crystal Dunn was listed as a forward. What are your thoughts on that?
Is it because you're such a noob that you've only ever seen Crystal Dunn? 100%. I will
happily call myself out as a noob. But I've only seen her play midfield and defender. So, like, I was surprised to see her as a forward.
I mean, on the wing, she'll play. Okay. She can play wing, like, in a, like, 10 position, in, like, a attacking midfield 8 position, too. And she played for Emma Hayes at Chelsea for a season. So, and this is Emma's first roster. Mm-hmm. So she is going to be, she's in charge now. And I think you can kind of tell by, because this, I thought there was like a lot more surprise here than the men's team that dropped.
What are the biggest surprises that stood out to you?
Yeah, so we have Hal Hirschfeld on the roster, who I think is not the Washington Spirit rookie that everyone expected to be on there. Croy Bethune, she's going to be with the team as a training player, but not on the roster. Yeah. And I kind of think maybe that Hirschfeld fits in a midfield profile that we've kind of been looking for, perhaps. And so that's maybe why that she fits more of a need instead of, you know, like we really would like to have Croy Bethune on the roster, but at least she'll be there for Emma to see her. And I kind of feel like, I don't know. I hope you bring her anyway. And we have Corbin Albert there. Personally, I don't think that she's even shown anything like that special to warrant her continuing being called up like with the baggage. I think we have a lot of other options too, but she'll be there. Sam Staub gets her first call up. People have been clamoring for this for a long time. And I think with Becky Sauerbrunn not looking a lot like herself this season, that this is at a really good time. Who else? Yeah, Crystal Dunn is forward, not surprising to me. Lily Johannes gets called up again. She didn't get a cap last time. I mean, maybe they'll cap her this time. I'm kind of wondering like what the rush is with this player. She's only 16, 17. I know that we don't want to lose her to the Netherlands, but and I'm speaking as like I've never been able to watch her play, so I'm uneducated. But I'm kind of wondering, like, I feel like there's time, you know, so
yeah. Emily, like, I can't believe you're not watching a lot of Ajax women. You're not watching them dedicating.
Can you believe that? But there are people on Twitter who are like so certain that like I'm telling you. And I feel like that happens all the time, and then we see them play and it's like, all right. Kat Macario's back. And then I think the last thing is that Alex Morgan was included in the roster, and that's only, she hasn't played in a few weeks since she was injured. And I think a lot of people were annoyed that she was on there instead of Lynn Williams, which I have to say, I have kind of thought for a while that Lynn like probably wasn't going to make the Olympic roster, both because of the size of the roster and you just have like all of these other options mm-hmm. that I think other people would also agree that they would take instead of Lynn. Mm-hmm. So it is, I mean, and I think that Lynn has been doing well in the last few weeks, but I wouldn't say that she's like flying. I wouldn't say she's like playing at a level where it's like criminal not to put her on the roster. But if she was on the roster, I wouldn't have like disagreed with it. So Alex being there, it kind of makes me think that she's going to the Olympics, and this is just probably an important time for her to be there with Emma and like talk about the role that she's going to play.
Yeah, so. I think that my opinion on Alex Morgan has taken like a full 180 since the World Cup. Mateus, were you about to say something about Alex Morgan or Lynn Williams?
No, I had a question.
Yeah.
For Emily, why so many friendlies? Like why this window? Why is this window a thing in the middle of the season?
Well, because we haven't had. I'm like, when's the last time we played a game? It's been a long time.
April. It's been a month and a half.
It feels like a long time. I mean, I think they want to get as many games in as they can, considering Emma hasn't been able to be around.
For sure, but is this a FIFA window where they're mandatorily supposed to?
This
be
is a FIFA or? Window.
No shit.
Because okay, there's Euro qualifiers going on too.
Oh, so that makes sense. Yeah. Never mind. I'll shut up now.
There will be a couple more friendlies in July that are send off games.
Yeah. The send off games make sense, but I'm just like, wow.
Yeah, this is a FIFA window though, because I mean the European calendar just ended for the women too. So
right.
Yeah. Checks out. But it'll be interesting. This is the last, basically the last opportunity that they're going to be able to ID players. So, mm-hmm.
I think with the Lynn Williams discussion, it may seem a little harsh on the surface, but God, the forwards are so deep. Like, there's so many quality players there. And Lynn's probably, like, is she 29 now?
She's, like, probably 30.
Yeah.
She so actually, her birthday is literally today. The national team wished her happy birthday and then left her off the roster.
Oh, no, that's kind of sad.
I mean, she obviously knew, but.
Yeah, and, like, look, Lynn Williams is a fantastic player. Like, we know this. Obviously you know it better than any of us because you are a diehard Gotham fan, but I don't blame any manager for leaving her necessarily off the roster when there's so much talent, especially young talent, in the attacking departments. And then when it comes to like bringing Alex Morgan and not bringing her, I mean, Alex is about to come back from injury. Like the clubs like announced that all their players are coming back for next week. So she's going to be fit for these games. And like, it's very clear how like that she can still make an impact on the field and is also just like a huge veteran leadership presence to have on the team.
Especially when like the midfield, those players that we're seeing this camp and who knows if those will be the players that go, it's like, the mix of like youth and veteran, like very much youth in the midfield, like the veterans on defense. I guess it's Emily Sonnet. And I guess Tierna, she was F19 World Cup. So, but yeah, it's like Lindsay, Rose, Sonnet, Morgan is like, that's the people who've like been there. So,
and done.
And Crystal, sorry. Of course. I think you still need like a couple of those players at least.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You can't go all the way on youth. I'm a fan of the roster, first roster by Emma Hayes. I'm excited to watch the first game under Emma Hayes. Looking forward to the Olympics. Let's move on now to NWSL. First game that we're talking about is KC3, Louisville 3. Emily, do you think Emma Sears meant to score that goal?
No, but that's that's obvious. I don't think she would say that she meant to you either.
I've seen players lie about it. Like Saka scored a similar one against Chelsea a couple years ago. He was like, yeah, I meant it. It's like, no, you didn't, man.
Emma Sears, I wasn't familiar with her obviously before she was drafted, but I'm like, she's probably the one, she's a player that I'm looking at her and I'm like, I would love to snatch her up for Gotham. We need another winger, as I've been saying. And yes. She's been really impressive. Not just her goal, but the run, like carrying the ball. The run she makes, I like her game.
Yeah, for sure. Louisville fought back in this game. I know you wanted to kind of talk about the dog that they are potentially having because they drew an away game against a really good team. So like this is a great result for Louisville.
I think it's the first time Kansas City hasn't won in their new arena, so that's really, I think this is a great result for Louisville to be in that kind of atmosphere not a great defensive effort obviously, but they fought back. The goals in this game were fun. Lola Bonta's penalty was so sick. Straight up upper 90. She did a celebration where she put the ball in her shirt and like did the, I guess her husband was like, are we pregnant? I'm like, would they let her play if she were pregnant? No.
I mean, to be fair, that's a pretty common celebration when you're like announcing that you're pregnant. Yeah.
their thing is like KC baby. So she did like the baby thing. So that was a play on that. Savannah DeMello's goal though to like equalize again was sick. Yeah.
And that's one of the other goal scorers for Kansas City was Michelle Cooper, and she is someone that she was a high draft pick last year, but it wasn't a great season from her. Granted, Kansas City wasn't all that good. Obviously, they're a little bit more healthy now. They have a lot of really, really good attacking options. Did you maybe see anything from Michelle Cooper where it's like you could see her breaking through at all? I mean, I feel like it's the first time I've seen her score in at least a long time.
Yeah, I can't think of many times. There hasn't been many times. No, yeah, like I remember when because Gotham, we had that draft pick that went for Michelle Cooper. And I was like, why didn't we get her? I bought the hype, you know, she's coming from Stanford, which produces really great players. At least I think she came from Stanford.
Someone I think she was Duke.
Oh, okay, yes. Whoa, my bad. Anyway, I bought the hype from the people who watch college soccer. And I was like, man, you know, why can't we have one of these young forwards that everyone's raving about? You know, I thought like it was going to be like Sophia Smith-esque. But yeah, it wasn't necessarily true. And of course, that is also part of, you know, the problems that they were having. Like, obviously, that contributes to her not playing well, because when everyone's not playing well, like a rookie is not gonna like be the one to save, you know. I think there was a lot of pressure on her to score with all those injuries that they had. So I don't think that helped either. Yeah, I think this is positive from her. I think she was carrying an injury coming into the season too, so the more time that she gets, and it might be a little bit more limited obviously with the forwards that they have in Bia and Chewinga, but no, I think like as long as she's getting like consistent time, I think maybe we'll see her like turn a corner. It is really hard to come into this league like as a rookie.
For sure. Well, hopefully it's the first of many more for. Let's move on now to Bay FC 2, San Diego 1. My take about San Diego is I think they're the only team in NWSL that has a good away jersey. I really love the pink, the all pink rocks. I'm a big fan.
Well, you know, it's funny, like, North Carolina has, like, a very similar one, oddly.
Yeah, it's, like, a little bit more red, but, like, I think the thing I like about San Diego's is that it's not as clear that it's gradient like all the other ones are. Like, my problem with the NWSL away jerseys is that they're all fucking gradient, and this one looks the least gradient, especially, like, while you're watching on TV. So I think that's why I like it the most. And also, they did such a 180 on their brand in terms of jerseys from last season to this season. So I'm just like loving everything that they have.
Color is nice, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
I am enjoying the way of suffering a bit because of the suffer ball that they play. Especially in games that they really have no business losing. Like losing this game, you've got to really reflect on yourself.
I mean, Bay FC played well.
I think they played well in the second half. No, I like truly credit to them. And I think like the best opportunities for the Wave came off set pieces. That's where their goal came from. Like, but it was like basically Bay not being able to clear their lines, which we saw a couple times this weekend, like that happening, which is like the most frustrating thing to watch, I think, as a supporter, is just like the players not being able to clear the ball from the box and it bobbling around. But I also think this is another occasion where the Wave came up across a team who needed a win for like the vibes and to like stay positive in themselves. Like they played the Rain a couple weeks ago and lost. I guess the player for Bay that I want to highlight is Kiki Pickett, who is a player who got drafted by Kansas City. She appeared a lot for them, but that was in their another really bad season. Got traded to North Carolina, had a lot of injury problems. She did come from Stanford. And I have been a fan of hers. She has been an outside back mostly. They've been playing her at least the last two games. Albertine Montoya played her as a defensive midfielder, where obviously they have been trying to figure out that solution. And she was the reason for them winning, basically. She had a goal line clearance. She played, what was it? what did she do? She had, I was looking at my notes. She had this really nice dribble out of pressure, and then played the pass for Camberos across the box, and Camberos scored. She also played the key pass into the box that initiated their winner. So I'm really happy that she is getting an opportunity and that she's like shown up for that opportunity. And I think this is really positive for Bay because they needed a win. And I'm glad they got one before Gotham comes to them on Friday night.
Completely understandable.
And they got it out their system. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They don't need another win.
They don't need another one.
But it's good for them trying to find stability in that midfield.
For sure. And a bright light for the Wave is that they're getting a lot of their stars back in the coming weeks.
So, Gurma was back.
Ravaged by injuries.
Yeah, whatever. Gurma and Dahlkemper both played in this game. Sophia Jakobsen played in this game. So, you know, they're back. They're back to it. Alex Morgan, I think they play on Thursday night. A lot of early games this week because of, I think, the holiday weekend and then going into the international break. So,
got it. Well, let's move on now to a game in which there was 6 goals in the first 35 minutes and then 0 after that.
Oh, my God.
The Spirit came back, actually, to win 4-2 against Angel City. Trin Rodman brace, like, great performance from Washington. They are fucking flying. But wild first 35 minutes of this game.
I'm like, my opinion is it wasn't really a great performance because it was just a defensive, like, disaster class from both teams. The first goal, like, Angel City players were just, like, standing there. Like, Sar just, like, dribbled around them. They were, like, that emoji where the man's just, like, kind of staying there. That people think. And, like, this is actually crazy, and I didn't notice this at first, but Angel City's equalizing goal, it came off, there was a cross to the box, it was cleared, and then Spirit's defensive line was like, okay, let's push up, except for Boutel, who stops, and she picks something up off the ground, and I think it was her shin guard or her ponytail or something like that. But that, because she's picking something up, she keeps Le'Veon onside for when the ball's recycled, and then Le'Veon crosses it in, and it hits off Boutel and goes into the goal.
She's locked in. No littering. No littering.
No. Yeah, exactly.
It was just, like, I didn't notice that in the first replay, and so when someone pointed it out, I was like, that's actually clownery.
That's an embarrassing way to concede.
No, and the momentum in this game was crazy because, like, once Angel City answered, it seemed like they were, like, gonna win. They got the second goal on a really nice set piece from Emsley to Sid LaRue's, like, bullet header. And then they really nearly went from, like, 3-1 up on an Alyssa Thompson goal that was called back offside. And then, basically, very quickly, it was 3-2 Spirit. Yep. And it was like, what just happened? Like, total blitz. I think the best goal out of all these goals is probably the Sar goal where Croy Bethune, she's dribbling, she's surrounded by 3 players, and, like, manages to get this ball, like, through that pack perfectly in time for Sar to run onto and chip the keeper. And yep. I was like, now I'm like, why isn't she on the full roster?
Bethune is fucking phenomenal. Every single time I've, like, watched Spirit highlights, she's always in the middle of everything. She's a fucking star, and she's only a rookie. It's really, really impressive.
She's only, like, she's a rookie, and she's only, like, I think 20.
Yeah, I mean, down game for her, only 2 goal involvements.
Out of 6, yeah, are you kidding me? What is the average?
On the other side, there's a young player that was very touted last season that I feel like the hype train has really kind of slammed on the brakes a little bit on Alyssa Thompson. She hasn't scored yet this season. She's 4 assists, to be fair. So, like, she's had some goal involvements. But, I mean, granted, I want to preface this by saying she is 19 years old. So like, yeah. But maybe the hype train moved a little early last season, with like 18 years old going to a World Cup and stuff like that. But she's slowed down a little bit. Do you think this is more the team around her, or is it just kind of, you know, a 19 year old's not going to have consistent form her entire season?
Yeah, I think it is. I've thought a lot that it might be like the team around her, because if she's in a better team where like she's not relied upon too much, maybe like the pressure might could be off a little bit. Mm-hmm. I do feel for her, because I, looking back, I think you see that probably Vlatko should have taken Jaden Shaw to the World Cup and not Alyssa Thompson. Not exactly the same profile, but I just think Jaden Shaw had already played in the league for, I don't know if it was a full season, but she had a bit more time. So I think we just need to let her, like, marinate a bit.
Yeah.
I think if it wasn't, like, a lot on her shoulders, it's her hometown. It's a lot of pressure. So hopefully she might. I think one thing is that Giselle Thompson started this game, and it was the first time that two sisters started on the same team in the NWSL. And would you know it? They had a lot of chemistry. It's like, maybe we should play them together more often, because they play on the same side of the field.
Yeah, that works very nicely. Like, the automatic connection is just there always.
They've got the sister telekinesis.
Yeah. Let's move on to last game we're covering this weekend, which is Gotham 2, Chicago 1. Gotham FC keeps winning. Victory lap time for Emily.
Wow, keeps winning. I don't think we won our last game, so.
All right, well, I'm just going to stop saying declarative things about Gotham, because I feel like I did the same thing last week.
Yeah, I'm like, stop giving us our flowers, because it's not true. Although, we've gone unbeaten for like 5 games, I think, so.
Okay.
That's good. Boy, we were so close for me to like come on here and like say the exact same things I've been saying about Gotham for like the past few weeks. And that, like, you know, we controlled the game, we dominated the game and shots and possession and chances and blah, we're able to execute. We are very close to that happening again. And then Ella Stevens scored a 90th minute winner against her old club and did like, oh my God, I was shook. I was there. I was shook. I was actually kind of scandalized. You know, it's not like
it was a hater celebration. That was crazy.
It's not like a thing really in the NWSL to like not celebrate against your old club, because there's so much turnover.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, everyone's doesn't really take to heart. But I saw that celebration. She's like kissing the badge like a million times. And like, you know, with the fans. And I thought back to her when she signed with Gotham. She like, when she posted about it, she's like, I just want to thank Gotham for their belief in me. And she was a restricted free agent with Chicago, so whatever Gotham offered, Chicago could have offered and kept her, and obviously they did not. So she's kind of like, you didn't fucking believe in me, they fucking believed in me. Yeah. And she's been involved in the last 5 of 6 goals that we scored. And we've only scored 8 goals this season. So.
Okay.
I'm like, either she's assisted, scored, or she like shot it, rebounded, or, you know, she was the one who kind of like towed it over to Rose to equalize against Louisville. She, like, when she's been on the field, like, we've scored those goals. And so I hope to see her on the starting 11 on Friday. But another huge thing happened in this game, and that was that Lynn Williams surpassed Sam Kerr as the all-time leading scorer in the NWSL. 79 goals. It was a really lovely goal as well. Jenna Nyswanger cross over to Astaire, who volleyed it back cross goal for Lynn to head it in. Very nice. And yeah, as we said, like, Lynn, I think she deserves So it's kind of like really hard with the timing of this happening and then getting left off the roster, because she deserves like all of the praise and plaudits that she's had. You know, she's like one of the most successful players that's, you know, been in this league for NWSL championships. So yeah, it's really tough timing.
For sure. But another nice win for Gotham.
Yeah. We're moving on up.
Before we move on to MLS, I want to take a stop in the hater corner of NWSL.
That's where I live.
Yeah. I want to let you shit on Utah real quick.
I want to hate on Utah. We don't talk about their games because their games are always boring. This one was moderately boring. And I look at the performances and I look at the roster and I think it's like, when the least competitive rosters that we've seen in the NWSL, I think we've seen bad teams and mismanaged teams, but this is just a roster compiled of people who, what?
Scrubs. Just say it's Scrubs.
Island Misfit Toys roster.
Yeah, like there are some good pieces there, but it's not a team that's gonna be competitive at all. And it makes me mad because Utah, like, had a lot of time coming into the league. Like, they knew that they were coming. I mean, the previous version of Utah, like, they were helped by inheriting the former Kansas City roster. So they had, like, Becky Sauerbrunn and Desiree Scott on there and some other players. They were able to sign Vero Boquet and Kristen Press eventually. So, like, they were never a postseason team, but... like, they were at least competitive. Like, they came close to making the offseason sometimes. And, I mean, they brought in Amandine Henri, but, like, that's not moved the needle at all. There's, like, no vision other than trying to snatch up all the former BYU players. which, BYU is a good college soccer school, but nothing more. Yeah, Mateus.
No, just be direct here. Is there anybody you're taking on Gotham besides Ali Settner and Henri?
No, because we actually, like, not even, I don't even know if Henri would fit in our, like, I don't know, in our squad.
You wouldn't even have her on the roster.
Well, I guess she can come. No disrespect to Amandine.
No, keep speaking on it.
I was going to say. Like, I think this is such a mistake also to have this roster and then to hire Amy Rodriguez, former player. She was also from Kansas City when they brought her on. But, like, never had a head coaching position before. Had only spent, like, a season as an assistant coach at USC. I don't know how you don't bring in someone with more experience when you have such an inexperienced roster. There's, like, not a lot of veteran leadership other than Henri on there. I think this is, like, a decision that's going to sink her coaching career before it could even get started.
She matches the club's values. The club's
heated. I don't know. Oh. I don't know if I want to, like, I don't know if A-Rod, she's never been outed as, like, you know,
a racist. She's never been a Corbin Albert kind of.
No, Albert. Yeah.
Before we leave the hating corner, yeah. I do want to shit on the Houston Dash for a second.
Yeah, go on.
Who were really snappy over Twitter when they won one game towards a bunch of people, but also you. Since then, they have won one fucking game. and I quote retweeted it, and that tweet immediately had a bookmark, and I would put money that it's the Houston Dash's Twitter admin and that it's gonna try to, like, get me after they win, like, their third game of the season or something.
I think it's,
and
like,
so I'm just gonna be a hater of them from now on.
I've always disliked the Houston Dash. But I think it's so funny to, like, imagine the admin, like, just, like, on the daily, like, bookmarking and being like, these are the receipts I'm collecting. It's gonna turn around.
I mean, respect to the admin. It's a thankless job. You know, when you've got a squad that bad.
No, yeah. I get. I mean, like, if you're a team social media admin, you're making like $20,000 a year. Like, I get it. It's a tough job. Like,
I hope you're making more than that.
They're not. There's no way.
They're working in sports. This is sports salaries do not pay you. All right. Well, let's move on to MLS now. Let's start it out in Austin. They won 3-2 against SKC. And once again, the power of MLS's best jerseys powers to a win. Mateus, what'd you think?
Yeehaw.
I don't know if that's exactly Austin vibes, but yeehaw.
Yeah, I don't. Yeehaw, give me my Bitcoin, I guess. No, like Austin with a really comprehensive win over SKC. SKC weren't really true to the game in this one. They were trying to play out the back because Austin was kind of stretching them in defense and keeping numbers back in a way. And so they were trying to play out the back, and that's how SKC concedes their first goal, is when playing at the back goes wrong. They feed it to Obreon. Obreon scores one, scores a second one before halftime. It's 2-1 at halftime. SKC dropping more points from losing positions. They had an early Johnny Russell goal that was definitely against the run of play. I just wanted to, you know, lots of goals in this game. Another missed penalty late in the game for Austin. A fake penalty, by the way, which was kind of fair that they missed it. But SKC isn't it. I try to give them the belief, you know, they seem like they know how they want to play. Didn't come out this game. They're at the bottom of the table. I think it's 16 points dropped from losing positions this season. They have 12 points. They have 12. They've lost, like, I think it's 14 or 16 from losing positions. God. It's not. Yeah. So there's not much to say this game. I think Austin made it a little bit sweatier than they needed to for themselves. I think they had a lot of quality shots on target that should have been converted. They had a goal very, very early in the game that was ruled. That was ruled offsides. Also the missed penalty at the end.
I didn't even understand that offside call, by the way.
In the fourth minute?
Yeah, it didn't make any sense to me.
I thought it made sense. I think it was like the before the back pass, right? Because I think Palacio put it in. It was kind of like a lateral pass, but I think the through ball before it was off. I don't know. I have to take a closer
look. Go watch it back, everyone.
Go watch it back. Yeah. Run back the tape.
Analyze.
Hey, Mateus, pull up YouTube right now. Watch it.
Anyway, but this could have been probably 5-2. And it wouldn't have been totally unfair as far as, like, you know, the goals that were or the shots that were put on target and, like, the PKs and stuff. But it's not looking super hot for Vermees right now. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt after hating on them all of last season. And then they got pretty far in the playoffs. And, of course, the curse is flipped. The curse is totally flipped.
Maybe if we hate them, they'll do better.
Yeah. One note on Austin FC is that one of their DPs, Emmanuel Rigoni, who's been kind of not great for a while, released by the club, as I understand it. I don't know if that's confirmed or not.
So when I saw that, I was like, oh, you can release designated players? Interesting. I would like to do that.
You got to keep paying them.
Oh, yeah.
That sucks. well, I guess that's a good segue into the Rapids. We lost 5-3 today or this weekend in the Rocky Mountain Cup.
That shit was crazy.
If we had won, we would have locked in our first Rocky Mountain Cup since 2020. Instead, it's going to come down to the game in Colorado in the summer. Which wild how MLS scheduling works that we play RSL three times and two of them are at their place. Like, that's fucking stupid.
Is the Rocky Mountain Cup a real trophy?
Yes, there's a genuine trophy that goes between teams every year based on the head-to-head.
Is it made of wood? Because I feel like it should be.
I think it has like a wood base, but it looks like a trophy.
I think it should be carved of wood.
I remember when I moved to Colorado, I had friends in California being like, oh, like, you're not going to be able to, like, swim in pools there. They only have lakes. Like, we have metal here to make trophies.
Hold on.
Hold the phone.
You're from California?
I grew up in California.
When your whole personality is, I'm from Denver?
Okay, relax. I moved to Colorado before high school.
All right.
So I've lived here for a significant amount
became
of time.
You became a person in Colorado.
He's been an Arsenal fan longer than he's been a Colorado.
That's accurate.
Okay.
That's accurate. Okay.
Respect.
All right. Maybe. Anyway, about the Rapids.
Sorry.
The lineup, I liked it because it's the same lineup that we've been rolling out, except Kevin Cabral wasn't in it. So I was a fan of that. The way we started this game, I was obviously a fan of. We went up 2-0. Cole Bassett scored a great goal, catching McMath off his line. Rafa scored another goal, his 8th of the season. I now fully think that we will buy him for the full $5 million now. I still think that might be a little much, but like he is fully like it makes so much less sense to like try to like negotiate and potentially lose him for games or like try to get someone else to fill this position when he has clearly fits the role that we want out of a striker. He now has 8 goals. I think 4 of them are from open play. 4 of them are from penalties. But he's an excellent penalty taker. He's starting to finish these goal scoring opportunities. I'm liking what I'm seeing from Rafa Navarro. We go up 2-0. Zach Steffen fucks up for 2-1. And that was a pretty bad fumble by him. And Zach Steffen's been great so far this season. That was this was a bit of an uncharacteristic game from our back line in general. Like, Moise Bombido had a very uncharacteristically bad game. He has a giveaway late in the game. It doesn't result in an RSL goal, but, like, it was a shaky game from the back line in general. RSL then ties it 2-2 before halftime. We get a scrappy goal from Jordy Mihaljevic in the 55th to go up 3-2. And then I think Chris Armas fucks up a little bit because we park the bus. But, like, we parked, like, a Chris McCandless bus that, like, doesn't have wheels and, like, is just, like, really shitty. Because we conceded to implode and give up 3 goals in 10 minutes and lose 5-3 somehow. Not a great performance at the end of this game, to say the fucking least. But I think RSL showed their quality. Like, they're a team that can truly hit you. Chicho Arango, who we talked about last week, like, he is in the MVP candidate conversation right now with all the Miami boys for a reason. Like, he has had a fucking excellent season. This RSL team is good. I think that the Rapids just, like, had a bit of, like, there was some nerviness, made some mistakes. I think parking the bus late in the game was a mistake because I don't think that's been a tactic that's worked well for this Rapids team. We work better when we're playing more on the front foot. Like in the Quakes game that I was at a couple weeks or last weekend, it was like we were better when we were on the front foot. When we took a step back, like, oh, we're up 2-0, that's when we start making those errors. That's when we start conceding. And so I think this is just a game we've got to learn from. Win the Rocky Mountain Cup when they're back here in Colorado, and move on from it. You know, I still think we're a playoff team. It's not the end of the world, but tough loss from the Rapids. Let's move on now to another one of our teams losing. Red Bulls lost their derby game against the Baseball Merchants. Emily, what happened here?
You know, you win some, you lose some. We lost this one. I think that why are we playing at a baseball stadium when we could have been playing at Red Bull Arena? They shouldn't play any of their matches against each other at Citi Field or Yankee Stadium. Because, like, what is the fucking point of that? The fans will go to Jersey, okay? They used to play games at Red Bull Arena. Like,
they still play continental games there sometimes.
Exactly. So that was all kind of fucked up. But, I mean, City are on, like, a really good run. I think this is 6 wins out of the last 7 games.
Yeah, what was the one that they lost?
Was it to you?
Yeah.
Wow. Colorado are so... they're so for real. I mean, first goal happens, like, within the first 5 minutes. They, like... break Red Bull's press out to Malachi Jones, who we talked about last week. He had another really good game. He plays it into Wolf, who honestly showed like a lot of like composure to like cut it back create some space for the shot, and it was a really nice goal. However, I do think like Red Bulls had a lot of opportunities, and they were foiled by Manuel and Van Zier, who just made absolute terrible decisions in the final third.
Van Zier's terrible. Like, yeah. He is not a good player. He was not like only stumbling racist, over the also bad.
He was like stumbling over the ball.
He has moments where he looks amazing, and then he has moments where he looks like he makes several poor decisions.
Right. When he had like 4 assists in that game against Miami, it was like, oh, wow. And then this bullshit. Forsberg, he was like unwell. He couldn't start this game. And I think that was another big problem that forced Lewis Morgan to like play his position, where he's been like so effective when he's playing higher up, closer to goal. And he's like the best finisher probably in the team too. So that was like, well, we did have like a really, really sick equalizer from Cameron Harper.
Yes.
That was sick. But then gave up. What was it? I think it was on a fucking set piece. It was that guy. What's his name? Who like hasn't been able to score for City this all fucking year. Bakrar. Hasn't been able to score all year. He was like the big signing or whatever, and then he's the one who fucking scores. He had like a very passionate celebration with Nick Cushing because he still believed in him. So Nick Cushing's turning around.
I gotta feel bad for it, because this feels I didn't watch this game in particular, but like, I'm adamant that Nick Cushing sucks ass. I really do. Like, they spend so much fucking money on transfer fees. They're the best scouting network in the world, and this is the best you can do. Like,
yeah.
Well, maybe this is the one goal he needed.
Yeah, hopefully. good win from the baseball merchants, even though they're still baseball
they're
merchants.
They're somehow sitting now in third in the Eastern Conference. And I mean, Red Bulls are fourth.
Whatever.
Let's move on now. To Chicago 1, Crew 3. We haven't talked much about the Chicago Fire this
season.
What's
there to talk about?
It's been mostly because they're bad. I, in our like prediction episode, said that like, ooh, maybe they'll be a dark horse. Nah, they've sucked. Shaqiri's been fucking terrible. He was benched for this game. Kuipers hasn't really hit the ground running at all. The record signing. Granted, I don't know if he's getting much service because Shaqiri's bad and Gutierrez isn't the best creator in the league. Mateus, what do you think about this win from the Crew?
I mean, so the thing with this game is that Chicago Fire did not suck for the first half. They really didn't. They were able to control things, I would say. Like, they played Columbus straight up. Like, they weren't like defending super hard. They created some chances, all of which Kuiper scuffed. Notably one that hit right at the ground into the Schulte's arms from like 5 yards away, totally unmarked. You're a $12 million player or whatever, $12 million player, you gotta score those. It doesn't fucking matter, especially in MLS. If you're unmarked from like 7 yards away from goal, you gotta score those. But Columbus takes their chances in the first half. Notably one, actually just one in the first half with Diego Rossi, where he shoots it at Brady. Brady parries it away, kind of like up the field, but it was kind of like a counterattack. So there's like no Columbus Crew players are not surrounding it. It's not like a super dangerous opportunity. Andrew Gutman and Rafael Chichios somehow both collide into each other while trying to head the ball away. I don't know why Gutman's like heading it towards the back line, but they just kind of go up and go boop against each other, and the ball goes right back to Diego Rossi, who puts it in the net. Like, if you're a professional footballer, figure it out. Yeah. That's an embarrassing ass goal to concede. And in the second half, Christian Ramirez scores one off a beautiful ball from, I believe it was Mo Farsi off the right hand side, in the 55th minute. And after that, it was pretty straight plain sailing for Columbus. They get Chicago gets a consolation 85th minute. Then Columbus comes back with Jason Russell Rowe and finishes another one. But the second half was like a little bit calmer for the Columbus Crew. Not a lot of chances on goal from Chicago. It just seems like Chicago's attack is really disorganized. Chris Mueller, off the left-hand side is a very one-dimensional player. He's going to cut in on his right foot, or if he's on the right side, he's going to cross. But he's a one-footed guy. Ryan Gutierrez is a young player who wants to shoot all the goddamn time. My man is never looking for a pass as a second striker, which is probably not great. He's a talented kid, but like, you got to look for a killer pass sometimes. Fabian Herbers, right? And so I think Frank Klopas would do better to institute a little bit more structure in this front sort of half the team, the front third, because they're not talented. Like, I think you saw towards in the first half when they were able to like sort of hang with Columbus, a depleted Columbus, admittedly, no Cucho, but they were able to it's not like the speed of the game was phasing them. It was just like the tactical sort of setup to finish in the first half. And then they just kind of got like overwhelmed. Like if you're chasing shadows all the time, especially when you're defending in kind of like a mid block where you're still like trying to press them a little bit, you get tired, right? And you get tired and you get disorganized. And then you have Brian Gutierrez taking pop shots from 25 yards out when he's like triple covered. You know, you're not going to win like that. So I think the Klopas era is coming to an end eventually, the end of the season. I don't know. It's kind of a mess. I think the, I don't know if you guys saw the salary numbers for MLS came out last week, and the Fire spend a lot of money relative to their league position. A lot of money. Big yikes for me.
The Fire.
Not great for Chicago. Let's move on now to Inter Miami. Got a 1-0 win against DC. And I was really impressed by DC United in this game. They were playing an away game with a full-strength Miami team, and I thought that they should have gotten a result here. Jared Stroud had a really good chance. They created a couple other solid chances, but they weren't able to put in the back of the net. Despite DC being very impressive in this game, I think the player that stood out to me the most when I was watching was actually Jordi Alba, who I feel like is the most flown under the radar of like all of the big names for Miami. He's very, very lively and he's very fun to watch. And I thought he was very good in this game. They left it very, very late. Leo Campana, who came on for Suarez, scores in stoppage time. Very emphatic celebration, takes off his shirt, which, speaking of salary numbers for MLS, wild to me that Campana is a DP for this team. Like, they have so many huge names and Leo Campana is one of their DPs, who is a very good player, but like, he's now their backup striker because of Suarez. But he won them this game, and good for them, but a tough result for DC, who, once again, I just continue to be impressed by every single week. That's a serious team right there.
They're on the same XG goal difference per 90 as Inter Miami, and just really? Above, just behind Cincinnati, just behind Cincinnati and Philly. So
that, you know, this does not surprise me. I've been impressed with them. Speaking of Philly, let's move on to the last game of the weekend. They won 3-0 against the New England Revolution, but I think you're more interested in talking about things that didn't happen on the field, Mateus.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about the game, right? There was a dog so challenge for the New England Revs. I think in like the 12th minute, Ryan Spalding holds back Mikel Ure, complains a lot about not being the last man, is very definitely the last man, gets sent off. And then New England, to their credit, hangs in the game for quite a while. It wasn't until like the 38th minute, I think, when Carranza scores from like a Jack McGlynn cross where he's like totally unmarked, like completely unmarked, which is crazy because Jack McGlynn has one thing and it's his left foot. So you should probably press him. He's not going to dribble by you, but whatever. And then two goals, one by Gazdag, one coming off a careening off the post off of a chance. And then Gazdag, I think, puts in, I forget what the 80th minute goal looks like. Forgive me for that. But a pretty comprehensive, especially in the second half, Philadelphia Union, not even a little bit worried away from home. New England, bottom of the Eastern Conference. There's a lot of rumors of discontent in the locker room. Color me shocked, right? After last season especially. Caleb Porter was asked by, I think, like a student journalist, like not even adult, like a fully kid journalist.
I love that.
Like, hey, why isn't a Dave Romney starting? Dave Romney, who's like a long time center back for New England, like has like, I think, the appearance record of some kind, or has been playing a zillion years and has now been suddenly surpassed by Arriaga, who they just acquired from Seattle. And he was just like, why are you asking me? He's not playing good enough. Are you questioning my ability to manage this club? You can't question my ability like that. Like, you can't. And like, this kid is like, no, I'm just wondering why Dave isn't starting. He's like,
I would have cried.
I'm out of here. Fuck you.
I would have cried. like, I'm sorry.
and like, just utterly fucking ridiculous from this, like an asshole move. There's no other way to put it. Like an asshole move. And then there's rumors that like Nick Lima and Mark Anthony Kay were fighting him in the dressing room after this game. Then Mark Anthony Kay was like, that didn't happen, on Twitter, like publicly, like, don't smear me like that. But it's not really a good look. They're not playing their best players. It doesn't, nothing looks right, right? They're fighting. Like, granted, the first half they put up a fight after going down 10 men. A lot of effort, a hard shift, but like, we're clearly gassed by the 60th minute. Fair enough when you're down to 10 men, but you have 7 points, dude. You have 7 points. You're rock bottom the East. You're supposed to be a coach that's supposed to like settle things down, right? You're like the veteran MLS coach. You can't have your team get away from you like this. It feels like if he hasn't lost the locker room, it'll be lost very soon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incumbent on the Revs organization to replace that. And if there's one organization that's not capable of that right now, it's probably them. So
I was gonna say, it sounds like he's lost the locker room.
Yeah,
I mean, well, I don't know. It seems like the GM has lost the coach, has lost the locker room.
Yeah,
it's a mess. They lost Bruce Arena for like weird reasons, and then it's just been implosions ever since in New England. Tough look for them, but fun little week of MLS and NWSL. Thank you all so much for listening, and you guys know what to say. Work all day.
Hustle and peace.
Got nowhere to go. Got to catch my sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. Plantain, plantain.